you know, at least maybe for a few more hours. Steve, thanks for joining us during these early morning hours in San Diego. When you talk about the agreement they reached, is money, was that kind of the key element as far as the agreement?
Well, obviously, many parts of this agreement. The mayor, as far as we know, we believe he will resign. That's part of his deal. And then for the others, they will be paying, we believe, a portion of some of the mayor's financial obligations, things like legal fees, possibly some of the payments that some of his accusers may get or may eventually get from either an out-of-court settlement or maybe an out-of-court settlement.
Steve, when did they start discussing this deal about these allegations with Mayor Filner?
We don't know for sure. I believe they began on Monday, but that's when we became aware of it. And I think it's likely that's when it began, but we don't know officially when it began.
Spending some time with Steve Futterman from CBS Radio, and we do know that there are allegations from at least 18 women who say the mayor did sexually harass them. Was this kind of a foregone conclusion? I mean, was there any way you thought he could keep his job?
Well, I did think there were ways. And listen, it's still not a fait accompli right now. The city council has to approve this proposed deal, and it does contain language which we believe would force the city to really spend lots of money on Bob Filner. So it's not a certainty they're going to sign it. But I think that this is likely where it's going to end. There's not many more options for either the city or the mayor.
You know, over the weekend, we heard from Filner supporters, a group of women getting together.
Yeah.
Have we heard from them the rest of this week, or have they just sort of dissipated?
Well, they were basically just a few dozen people who came out and were supporting Filner to the end. Some people found it humorous. Some people found it a bit sad and disturbing, but they were there. Have not heard from them since it was announced that the two sides had reached a tentative agreement.
And I think that's a general reaction of most people just for the whole situation. Some people found it humorous, some of it sad and disturbing. It looks like it is coming to the final chapter, though, as you said, the council still has to approve it. If they do approve the agreement, then what's the process? How do they go about selecting a new mayor?
Well, there will be an election probably in 90 days, and it will be, my understanding is, a winner-take-all. In the sense that the person who gets the most votes will become mayor. I don't believe there is a runoff. I could be wrong on that. But in 90 days, they will have a new mayor. During that time, the man who's currently one of the city council members will become interim mayor. Interim mayor does not hold all the powers a regular mayor does. So there will be someone holding down this title of interim mayor. His name is Councilman Gloria. But he will not have all the same fines of a regular person who's not involved in a situation like this, who's not an interim situation.
Again, thanks for being an early morning riser. That is Steve Futterman from San Diego, California, giving us the latest on Mayor Bob Filner. It looks like he will be resigning if the council agrees to the agreement,
yeah,
which looks like in part they would provide financial assistance for his legal battles. Again, at least 18 women that have filed some sexual harassment charges against them. And, you know, again, they have to decide, is that something that's in their best interest, or if they find another way to remove them. But it looks like agreement has been put together, and now it all depends on the vote.
And look, if part of this agreement is that the city council, the city has to pay for legal defense and mm-hmm. settlements with some of the women, that was something the city balked at earlier.
Well, they did, yeah.
Because Filner wanted the city to pay for his legal defense and everything like that, pay for the lawyers that he was hiring and working on his team. And they voted no and said, forget it.
But this time, the part of the compromise is he would step down.
Yeah,
before
yes.
It was, well, I'm your mayor. I was in office here. You guys didn't give me. Didn't he save freeze for defense? They never had a relationship type of conference or whatever he's supposed to have gone to that he didn't, you know, that it's their fault for not having this. He didn't know how to handle himself with the opposite sex. So that's why he had this problem. But whatever the reason, it looks like this episode in San Diego local politics will be over. We'll have more coverage on that. Speaking of spending money, the president's come through with his education proposal, and Senator Bob Casey feels that college affordability is a challenge in this country, and we have to make college more affordable if we want to have economic growth.
His emphasis on college affordability and helping young people obtain a college education or a two-year degree at a community college, all of those efforts, I think, are critical to long-term economic growth.
Casey said, this is something as a nation we really need to do, because to get a good job, he quoted that old line, you need a good education.
Got to make sure that we're making the right decisions about and investing in strategies to bring to the fore, I should say, more efforts to make sure that young people have access to higher education, because that's really a long-term economic strategy that we know will work.
Casey went on to say that his state is a pretty good example of how they're feeling the economic impact and the fact that a lot of people are still unemployed. Others need to be retrained. The best way to do that is through a 2 or 4 year college.
The downturn we had in 2008 and 2009, even lingering into 2010, is still very much a factor in people's lives. If they didn't lose a job or a house or both, they knew someone or someone in their family had terribly difficult economic circumstances.
Now, those on both sides of the aisle are applauding the president for trying to make college more affordable, but there is criticism, especially from Republicans, on a point you brought up yesterday, Matt, about kind of grading these different schools
right.
and the percentage of money that you'd be allocated depending on how high the college university ranked. Some people feel that's just not the way to go.
Right, because a less highly rated university mm-hmm. is now going to offer you less money to go there, even
right.
though maybe that's just your grades and your ACTs.
It's the best you could qualify for, right?
SAT, whatever your circumstance, maybe you can only get into there, but is that the right way to approach this? Is this the fix-all? Probably
yeah.
not.
So it'll be interesting to see if that does get approval or not. We've got plenty of other stories to share yet this morning. We do have some man-on-the-street comments about Ryan Braun. We'll share that. Plus, the president himself shared some words on both Syria and Egypt. We have those with Mike Matt in the Morning News here on WTAQ. News, talk, sports.
7:21 with Mike and Matt. Story from the Washington Times. Attorney General Eric Holder Jr., sued Texas yesterday, escalating the battle over voting rights and saying the legislature was intentionally trying to discriminate against Hispanics when it redrew its congressional district maps and passed a voter ID law. Meanwhile, Arizona and Kansas are fighting the federal government on another front in the voting wars, suing the U.S. Election Assistance Commission to demand that anyone who registers to vote in those states, again, Kansas and Arizona, be required to prove that they are citizens. So Holder suing Texas, Arizona, Kansas, suing the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. All right.
We love to sue in this country.
Well, especially when it comes to voting rights.
Yeah, boy, that has really become a big issue, that's for sure.
Voter ID laws, congressional mm-hmm. maps, still at the forefront. Yeah. 2013, 2014 is going to be interesting.
Oh, it will be.
The midterms.
2016 will be even bigger, yeah.
Oh, yes. 7:22 with Mike and Matt. Really sad story out of Spokane, Washington. An 88-year-old wounded veteran of World War II died yesterday after he was brutally beaten, apparently, you know, just at random, in the parking lot of his lodge in Spokane, Washington, according to authorities. Spokane police said they were seeking two suspects in the attack that occurred on Wednesday night on Delbert Shorty Belton. He's a retired aluminum company worker who lived in the city for most of his life after he was discharged from the Army after the war. Belton died of his injuries yesterday morning. The suspects were described as black males of average build between the ages of 16 and 19 years old.
And you're talking an 88-year-old man?
Yes.
Oh, man.
They were wearing black clothing, red sneakers. Police Lieutenant Mark Griffiths said they apparently attacked Belton purely at random. I mean, how else would this guy be tied into a 16, 17,
yeah.
18, or 19-year-old, whatever their age is?
But I mean, was it for robbery?
No, it appears he was assaulted in the parking lot. There was no indication that he would have known these people prior to the assault, Griffiths said at a news conference. As police released surveillance camera photos of two young men believed to be the suspects, a makeshift memorial overflowing with flowers, U.S. flags, messages of sympathy sprouted up yesterday outside the Eagles Lodge in North Spokane. Friends and family remember Belton as a warm, generous man who helped many people over the years, having people come live with him when they were having hard times.
Really?
And in fact, he was hanging out in the parking lot waiting for a female tenant to arrive because he didn't want her to enter the building alone.
Oh, man.
So he was waiting to help her.
And he gets
jumped by these two kids, teens, allegedly, and they beat him to death. An 88-year-old man.
I said that story and the other story you had shared earlier, you know, that we know about the shooting of the kid that was just jogging. I don't know what's going on, what the mindset of these people are, why they just turn to violence. It makes no sense.
This story out of Irwindale, California from KTLA.com. Dozens of people were injured when a charter bus on its way to a casino overturned on the 210 freeway in Irwindale yesterday morning, according to authorities. What's with buses tipping over?
Yeah, a lot of problems of late.
It happened just after 10 o'clock in the morning on the eastbound 210, just past the interchange with the 605. The Dazen bus was headed from Monterey Park to the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino in San Bernardino at the time of the crash. The bus driver was making an unsafe lane change when he clipped the back of a black Hyundai Elantra, according to the California Highway Patrol. The next thing I knew, everything was just going really fast. We all kind of swerved over here to the right side. The bus flipped over in the back, said Melody Bausa, who was driving the Hyundai. Several drivers stopped to help pull injured passengers out of the bus, according to witnesses, but just injuries.
Thank goodness for that, yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. On the way to a little casino tour, and a bus clips a vehicle and flips over, flips on its side. That's nuts. This is crazy how often these types of things are happening, whether it's trains, buses, planes crashing. It's really strange.
Yeah, it's been a sad year for transportation. Yeah, it really has been.
Strange summer. 726 with Mike and Matt.
WTAQ News Talk Sports.
Well, on the weather front, going to feel like a nice summer weekend today. Pleasant with sunshine, high of 79. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 82. Sunday, partly sunny, then it gets kind of hot with a high of 89. Currently sunny and 55, both in the Valley and in Green Bay.
726 with Mike and Matt. Mike, do you watch Law & Order SVU?
No.
I used to call it SUV.
SUV.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no, wait, that's a sport utility vehicle.
But no, I have not caught that.
I used to be a big fan of the show.
Did you?
Okay. I used to watch it all the time. I haven't watched it in years, though. But apparently, they are going to combine the Paula Deen controversy and the Trayvon Martin case for an upcoming episode.
In the same episode?
I guess. Sybil Shepherd will play a celebrity chef who shoots and kills an unarmed teen in a hoodie because she thought she was being pursued by a rapist.
Oh.
Her defense will be self-defense.
Uh-huh.
So she's the celebrity chef who sees a black person,
mm-hmm.
believes she's going to be, you know, raped.
Interesting, yeah. Okay.
Throw on a hoodie, and you can just wrap everything up.
So they're combining two different kind of story
in
headlines.
A nice little bundle.
Yeah. All right.
Really?
See if it's a rating grabber or not.
I'm guessing a lot of people will probably watch that.
Probably.
I don't know when the episode is going to debut, but it's being talked about. That's the next storyline.
All right.